welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores, football jerseys.
But no boots.
No boots. We're not wearing any shoes at all. So I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Linata.
I'm Rob Steller.
So as usual, we're going to start off by talking about the weekend scores, just do a quick recap. And then today, what we're going to do for our main topic, we're going to just be talking about transfers.
It's deadline day, baby.
Deadline day. All the transfers are going through. Some crazy stuff is happening. So we're just going to spend the whole time covering that. So let's get into it. So starting with the weekend score, we'll start in La Liga. So the big results of the weekend, the first was Barcelona winning 1-0. Vermaelen with the winner.
It's not how you're going to get your 100-goal differential, man.
Not sure how that happened. Messi still hasn't scored. On a positive note,
to be fair, Ronaldo hasn't either. So
he has. Yeah, it's the weirdest situation ever. Like, our defender scores, and Vermaelen was always kind of, I don't know, people weren't sure about him, but he did really well. He scored, and on the positive note, we did well. We had a lot of chances, but on the bad, I mean, Hamani was just saving every single shot, so it ended up only being 1-0. But I don't know, stuff happens.
Hopefully, it's 3 points, man.
It's 3 points, and we're still, I mean, we're tied for first, but you know, it's just so early on. It's only been 2 games, so it really doesn't mean anything at this point. But then moving on, Atletico Madrid had a really good win over Seville. This was supposed to be a tighter game than you would expect, because Seville has been doing really well, but it was 3-0. So it was a really solid win for Simeone's men. Atleti's just overall looking good. They got some good pickups over the summer. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on transfers, but they're looking fairly solid. And actually, the next game, we actually play them. So that's going to be a huge matchup. I don't know. I mean, we really need to step it up with finishing, because, I mean, we had a lot of shots on goal, like I said, but if you're not putting them in, it doesn't really matter. So yeah. This is going to be a pretty crazy game. So hopefully we'll win and keep our place at the top of the table. And then the final score, the big score, was Madrid. They won 5-0 against Betis. I mean, you kind of expected against Madrid they're going to do well. But I will say, almost all of their goals were fantastic. Bale started the scoring at the second minute or minute 30, so you kind of already knew they were setting the pace. They scored. James had a ridiculous free kick, and then later he had an overhead kick, which he set himself up.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, he basically a lot of questions were answered, at least for this game, from Madrid, because could they score? Because they didn't. Not only was it a draw last week, but they didn't score anything. And Benitez is a little more defensive-minded. People didn't know. I mean, it's Madrid, so you'd assume they're going to score, but you didn't know how it was going to work. Also, James was benched to start last week. But he started this game, and he did brilliantly. Bale stepped up. He also had a brace. And then you have Benzema. I mean, it's crazy. The one person not doing that much is Ronaldo. But, I mean, when you have people like Bale, James, and Benzema, in a way, I mean, you need Ronaldo and you need Messi in the big games. But in these games, I mean, just have your other players step up, and that's all that needs to happen. So right now, the league table is still a little messed up because at the end of the day, it's only been 2 games.
Right.
So you're seeing teams at the top of the table that are not going to be at the
top. It's a fun time.
It is. So we're not even first, even though we have 2 wins, because we've only scored 2 goals, which is pretty bad. But I think we're fourth. But, I mean, hopefully it'll pick up coming up soon, but we'll see. Couple matches coming up. Moving over to the Bundesliga, there are a couple big matchups, or one really. The big matchup of the weekend was Munich versus Leverkusen, they've been doing really well. They had some good pickups over the summer, and they're a good young team, so we're hoping that they can be a pretty strong team. But Munich had a pretty decisive win. I mean, you know, it's Munich, so you expect them to win, but we didn't know how they were going to do because they have a shortage of center backs because of red cards and injuries. But I mean, two of the goals were bad calls on the ref's part, but I mean, they still won 3-0, and they looked positive. Like, you can't get PK calls unless you're putting it in the box. You don't just randomly get those. So positive march for Munich. Like I said last week, I mean, Munich just looks like the deepest squad in the world right now. it's just absurd the amount of firepower they have out and on the bench, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon. Even if they have serious injuries, they have so many people that can come off the bench. It's pretty absurd. So it's a little unfortunate to see Leverkusen go down so easily in a way, but I mean, Munich's Munich. The other big game was Dortmund. Dortmund, I mean, I'm like a faux supporter of them. I don't know. I like them ever since I saw them move upwards with Klopp. So now
it's the jerseys.
Yeah, it is. And man, their fans are nuts.
Yeah.
And they do that like skull and bones thing. You know how it's like crazy. I'm like, I don't know. Are you going to murder people now? But it's good to see them back on the rise. They won 3-1. And honestly, the one goal, this is the first goal they let in all year. All year, meaning a couple games. But that goal was offside, so really they haven't let in any goals, but whatever, the ref didn't see it, so it counts. But they look solid too. I mean, it's looking like Wolfsburg is doing well, but losing De Bruyne is a big blow for sure. And I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head, I don't think they had any really big pickups to replace that kind of talent. But Dortmund's looking good, so I really hope they give Munich a run for their money. But honestly, Munich having that depth, I don't know, over whatever 40 games, I don't know if anybody can really challenge for them. But oh yeah, and Dortmund's not going to be in Champions League, right? Because they did so poorly last year. So unfortunately, we won't see them in Champions League. But they deserve, like, they're a team that I think can go far.
Well, hopefully, that'll make them stronger for the league, though, and to give them
then they can
a better run for their money,
it's,
right?
But it's just like I said, the problem is Munich has so much damn depth. It's like, it's, I don't know how they're going to do anything. But those were the main matchups. And you know, I mean, it's kind of as usual in the league table in Germany.
Cool. So. All right. So let's go to Italy. Milan finally got a win against Empoli, of course. But we won 2-1.
3 points is 3 points.
The better thing is Bacca and Adriano are two new strikers. Both got goals. And actually, Adriano assisted Bacca on the first one. So that was good to see. Chievo 4-0 over Lazio. Unreal. Inter got another win against Capri 2-1, one of the newly promoted teams this year. Genoa got a win against Hellas Verona.
Yeah, baby.
Yep. Napoli drew to Sampdoria 2-2. Udinese, who got the win first round, lost to Palermo 1-0. And Torino ended up beating Fiorentina 3-1. But the big match of the weekend, clearly Roma versus Juve, huge, huge match. That's, you know, number one and two. Roma stayed with Juve most of the year last year until the last like 5-6 games.
I almost wish this game wasn't this early. Like, I feel like there should be lead.
But it's interesting. It's interesting, right? Because Juve was coming off a loss and Roma was coming off a draw in the first round. And so Pjanic had a ridiculous free kick in the 61st minute. Buffon rooted, did not even go for it, just right in the top corner.
When you get a pass Buffon, you know.
When Buffon doesn't move for your free kick,
yeah, he can't move anymore.
That's pretty
like
good. This is true.
You know, he's a foot.
I don't know. Is
he over 40?
No.
He's got to be
up at 30s.
Late 30s. He's getting there. So Evra was sent off after second yellow in the late 70s. And then Dzeko put in his first goal for Roma and in the Serie A at 79th. Nice header.
He's 37.
Buffon. Damn. Thanks. That was quick. That was good Googling skills right there.
Okay, Google.
So Dybala got one back for Juve in the 87th, but it was not enough. This is interesting, right? Because,
and we should mention, this was in Rome. So
this was in Rome, but nonetheless, this is the first time that Juve has lost two opening games ever in Serie A,
that's
going
ridiculous.
Back to like 1912 or something like that.
I don't even
know
how you do that. How do you not have bad years?
It's crazy, right?
And the thing is, Rome, it wasn't like it was, 2-1 sounds pretty close. Roma was on top of the game. It wasn't until the end that, when did Juve score? Like, it was pretty late on.
Like, a few minutes from
Juve
the time,
was down a guy almost the whole game, right?
No, for 30 minutes or so. Not even.
But even the first half,
and
I mean, Roma
controlled the whole most of the game.
And it's like, yeah, Juve lost
all
players,
the good chances.
But come on.
But they lost big players. Like, Pirlo was one of the big players that they lost. But anyway, let me just read you this, though. Juve hasn't lost. This is the first time Juve's lost two games in a row in Serie A since March 2011. All year they lost three games. They've already lost two this year in their first two games.
So in your opinion, I mean, I don't know if you guys have an opinion, but what does Juve need to do to get their mojo back? I mean, you're losing, okay, Pirlo controls the midfield. He can link up and he can, you know, he can just do those long balls that are insane. You lose that. Vidal is kind of, I think he's box to box, isn't? So you're like losing that kind of, and then you're losing that finishing of Tevez.
You're losing one. You're probably one of your biggest players in each role.
But you still, I mean, Dybala, how do you pronounce it?
Dybala.
Like, I mean, I feel like some of that slack has to be picked up. And I mean, two losses and not looking. I mean, the first game they looked okay, but I mean, they just looked lost versus Roma.
But they look nothing like they did last year, though.
How?
It's early.
What do they need to do? I mean, I don't think they're going to pick anybody up.
But. It is early, but like I said, I mean, as soon as Pirlo left Milan and went to Juve, they won. They've won every year since then, and I think he had a big part of that because they're missing that transition from midfield to the striking and actually getting attempts on goal. That's they don't have that this year.
Pirlo's too busy just lazily walking around MLS,
not defending whatsoever. He doesn't come back fast enough.
Dave, I don't think you saw it. So we saw a highlight this weekend, man. There was a corner, and he literally didn't do anything. He just walked, and the guy got a header, and he scored.
Oh my God.
Retirement
party.
It really is.
But. Unlike Sean, I like looking at tables early on because it's only been two games. Right now, Chievo Verona is in first. Right? Torino in second, Inter in third, Sassuolo and Palermo are all the teams that have won two. And then Juve in 17th, with zero
just
points.
Above the drop zone.
Nothing makes me happier than that. It's unreal. So obviously we have the international break next week, but the following week, Milan Derby, third week.
Jeez.
Huge, huge game. And also interesting.
Where is it going to be? Where is it going to be held? Is it San Siro or Stadium Miazza? I can't pronounce that.
The other big match is going to be interesting to watch is Juve versus Chievo. Because Chievo
playing a drop zone team in Juve.
Yeah, but I mean, Juve has to bounce back from this. Yeah. Like, granted, they have the international break to, you know, kind of form their team back up and get some training in and stuff like that. But, you know, it's not the easiest team to bounce back from as a team that looks strong.
Allegri always looks sad, so he doesn't seem like the guy
who always looks like he's about
back.
To shit himself on the sideline. He looks terrified. That's exactly it. Like, oh my God. Every single time the camera goes to him, he looks terrified out of his mind.
Yeah, I think these are interesting matchups, and we're going to see. I mean, I'm still definitely the type of person that says this does not mean, you know, the league is not over yet, but no, this is a really
not
weird
this league
way to start.
England's over.
So, yeah, let's move over to that.
So Dave's back from vacation.
Yeah.
Dave from down under.
I want to thank Kevin for filling in for us.
Yeah.
Famous Kevin.
The famous.
I'm going to run through League One, the French League, for a few seconds, pretty much. Marseille lost again, which is kind of a shock. Their coach got fired, so they're just stinking it up right now. Marseille lost to Guingamp 2-0. Which I'd say is a shock, but we all know PSG is going to run away with the league anyway. They pretty much already have.
Yeah.
Saturday, you know, the other big teams, Lyon won 4-0 finally. They put in a good performance. Lille won as well. But the big game was on Sunday. It was PSG versus Monaco, and say PSG just pretty much, you know, stake their claim for the top spot. I think it's pretty much going to be them the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They looked good. I watched part
three,
of the game.
3-0 victory over Monaco. Di Maria had a nice assist.
Yeah, I mean, two good Cavani goals, which is good to see him. Ibra put him through on his first goal, and it was just, you know, it's good to see him put his scoring boots on, because I feel like Cavani's one of those guys is up and down. Ibra tends to be pretty consistent, but Cavani's that head guy. And, you know, so the third goal was Lavezzi. I feel like Lavezzi was a big deal when they bought him, but
he doesn't play that much.
Because he hasn't done that well, so it's good to see.
Yeah.
I don't know, them scoring again. Di Maria's assist was unreal. I mean, I don't know why it didn't work out at Man U. I think part of it is I think they wanted to play him as a striker when he's a creative player. He's an assister. He's that guy runs down the wing, cuts it inside, or not cuts it inside, but cross it inside. And I think he's an absurdly good player. Even when he was at Madrid, I hated him because I liked him because he was really good. So I think he's going to do well for them. But
So, you know, PSG's up at the top with 12 points. They haven't allowed a goal yet in four games.
Mm-hmm.
Scored seven, and Their only threats, I think, are really Monaco and Marseille, and they're bottom half of the table right now. So,
how do you think this will affect their Champs League play, though? Like, this feeling that you're invincible. And even league play, where you feel like if you're always winning, you almost get lazy. And you might let in a couple goals against some crap team because you just feel like you're always going to win.
Hey, PSG is pretty deep, though, as well, kind of like Bayern.
Yeah, they are.
They have, if they had to during the league games coming up at the Champs League, they could play their B squad, which is still like, you know, Rabiot, guys that aren't getting a lot of Van der Vel.
They bunch are, of guys they've never really performed well in Champs League, though.
Well,
last year they beat Chelsea, well. So I think that's a pretty big, because Chelsea, I mean, you could argue that maybe Chelsea was a little hyped up too much, but they were early season favorites. So then people were saying the teams that could win, everybody thought Madrid was going to win, and then also Munich was there, Barca was there, and I think Chelsea was the other one. And beating, and honestly, though, to me, Chelsea losing when they were up a man for 90 minutes, especially when you do extra time, that's when your legs are so tired and you have to run so much more because you're down a man. And it's freaking David Luiz scoring. So,
I think PSG will be fine. I mean, their bench, Sirigu is their backup goalie now that they signed Trapp. So they got Sirigu, Stamboli, they just bought Marquinhos, Vanderwell, Di Maria came off the bench, Rabiot is a young guy, Lavezzi's off the bench.
My question is less about depth, but more about competition. If you feel like this is the argument that all Premier League fans always bring, the Premier League's harder. Although I find it hilarious that when the Premier League wins, it's because their league is better. So that's why they're just stronger during the year. So that's why they win. But when the Premier League loses in Champs League, it's because also because they're stronger because they're playing harder teams week to week. And I'm like,
I mean, they do have a good group in Champs League too. I mean, they have
Madrid,
Shakhtar, and Malmo.
That's not going to be easy. I think the only Malmo is the only easy team.
Easier. Out of the lower teams, though, they're not bad.
A few
and I think
players.
Ibra rematch, because Ibra came from Malmo. Yeah. See his old fans, but
actually, I'm pretty sure that happened when he was at Milan. I think we played them and lost to him.
Oh man. Okay, so moving on. You know, let's just get into Premier League, the Prem.
Yeah, so you know, Premier League, there was one big, real big result, I would say, is the Chelsea loss again to Crystal Palace, 2-1.
I mean, not only is it disaster. Chelsea losing, it's a Mourinho team losing.
Yeah,
this doesn't make
and
sense.
The look on his face when they score is just like, oh my god, it's like he's panicking, he's freaking out, he doesn't know what to do.
I mean, he was calling out his players, which he does from time to time, but I feel like when there's a real loss, which I kind of liked, he tried to deflect. And this one,
that's what he does.
He was calling out players, and he didn't seem positive. Like it didn't seem like Mourinho. I don't know. I mean, it could be that third year a curse.
Well, we were talking about this last week, I think, right? Like he's never been at a club for more than 3 years.
And
this is it.
And
this
it's so weird.
This is why you shouldn't have said Chelsea was going to win this year.
Yeah. No. Oh, I don't really care. I'm so happy because I want Mourinho to lose so badly. The only positive I have is I just want Pedro to score goals. But honestly, you watch the game, I mean, they didn't look that great. I mean, there were a few chances. Hazard didn't do that well. Ivanovic still isn't doing that well. Terry's still out, so you could argue maybe that was the defensive issues. But, I mean, Zuma's okay, but he didn't do very well. Pedro didn't have a great game. Yeah. I mean, one positive note, Falcao scored a pretty decent header.
Yeah.
It was kind of like down low. It's not easy to get on. So get his confidence up a bit. But I mean, come on. Like that's grasping at straws. I mean, now one thing I will say, I think Palace is top of the table. They're second right now.
I mean, City's obviously in first.
That was stupid. Palace is high up, but they're not. I mean, it's still Crystal Palace. Like, Alan Pardew is not going to change this team into some Premier League winning side. Like, this is insane. Two losses already? I'm pretty sure last year Chelsea only lost three games. And they tapered off towards the end. So this is kind of crazy.
Yeah, three losses, 9 draws last year.
It's unbecoming of them. And
that's like Juve, though. I mean, it's the exact same start that Juve's having, right?
But what do you think? And maybe same thing with Juve. Well, I actually think Juve probably had a better summer. I mean, Chelsea really didn't buy anyone. I mean, Pedro is their only really one, and that was kind of a last ditch effort. That wasn't like a big signing or anything like that. So who did Chelsea get? I mean,
they might have just thought since, you know, last year they were so successful, yeah, they really didn't, you know, they thought they didn't need any real big reinforcements.
Clearly they do, but what else? A
couple other scores, battle of the pronunciations here. Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Drew Leicester City.
Leicester, god damn it.
1-1, so Bournemouth and then Leicester City drew 1-1. Aston Villa and Sunderland 2-2. Stoke and West Brom, the two red cards in that Stoke game.
Yeah, so what do you guys think about the red cards? So there were, I mean, okay, one is bad enough, two is, so the first one I think we all agree is legitimate. So Ibrahim Afellay, former Barcelona man.
Barcelona. You should only be allowed to talk about Barca players and former Barca players.
You know what's so funny? I never thought so many of our former players would be at so many teams. I mean, Song is at West Ham. That was deserved. But it's so basically what happened. If you didn't see it, basically, Afellay got slapped and then he slapped him back. And if you're the one who reacts, you always get in trouble. It's a red card.
The second one was harder than the first. I will say that. But, yeah. I'm pretty sure he
lost his temper.
But the rule is, like, if you touch the face, it's a red, right?
So, like, both of them should have been sent off. But this goes back into replay. Maybe the ref didn't see the first one. Whatever. Either way, Afellay lost his temper. Let's just say red card. The next one, Charlie Adam. Mm-hmm. That one, a little more contentious.
I mean, the tackle, I think, was worse. You know, he came down on his leg. I don't think there was too much into it. I mean, he did stomp on him, but it's not like he, like, intentionally.
Okay. When you say
lift his foot up and stomp on him? No. He was falling backwards, but ended up falling on his leg. I mean, I don't think it was intentional.
So he kind of
went down
him.
To him after he went down to him to, like, ask if he was okay afterwards. I don't think he purposely stomped. It wasn't like a stomp.
No. So he didn't like pick his leg up and go back down, right? But he kind of stepped on him twice. Right. Well, I mean, so the first time I don't think was intentional, but there was the second time when his leg was coming down where he already had his first leg planted that he could have eased up on it or at least not pressed. Like it looks like he pressed his leg down.
He's losing his balance, falling a little bit backwards. Imagine having one foot on the ground and one foot on somebody's leg. Like you're probably like, oh, like losing. It's not like a quick.
And you have to react. Yeah. I think the problem is, though, the reason why he didn't pick up his leg and put it back down like as a real stomp is because he's smarter than that. But that's how clever players are.
So he just dragged, like purposely raked his leg.
He did, though.
A lot of players do that because they're smart enough to know we can get the call if they don't see it. Or not get the call. We can do that stuff. So regardless, I mean, it wasn't a big game, admittedly, but it's another red card.
They ended up only winning 1-0 after that. The red card was, I think, in what, like the 10th minute or 12th minute.
It was pretty early on.
Then they had another one, and they won 1-0, West Brom did. I mean, the other huge surprise, I would say, is West Ham beating Liverpool 3-0.
Yeah.
Coutinho with the red
3-0.
Card.
3-0, like,
this is crazy. Liverpool is just on a downward spiral. It's weird how the Premier League is shaking out, because Chelsea is on a downward spiral. Liverpool, you hope they would bounce somewhat back. City, I mean, we knew they were a good team, but they're just doing amazing.
Yeah. They still haven't given up a goal. They're 10-4.
And they've scored a lot.
Yeah, 10 goals. 10 goals in 4 games. I don't think has given up a goal until
this
past week.
Well, we'll talk. Yeah.
So, I mean, right.
True,
if you can't
score. But City looked convincing. City looked strong in every game they played in.
United also hasn't been scoring.
Right.
Their GD now is 1, right? So 3-4-1 against.
And Arsenal's looked okay, good enough. I mean, they won 1-0. It's a win. You can't take away a win. But you're looking at, I mean, Chelsea, I mean, okay, we expected Liverpool not to do well, but Chelsea is a surprising one. I thought Liverpool would be a little bit better than this. 3-0, that's a solid loss.
Like, I'm continually surprised that Arsenal doesn't do better. Like, I'm at the point of a good squad.
I think they need a new coach.
No, but like, it's at the point where I don't know why I'm surprised by that. Like, it's every year. Like, every year, we talked about this last week.
This is the year. And then they just...
Yeah,
but like, they're third. But even last year, remember, at Christmas break, they were... Weren't they top of the table? They were doing really well, and people were like, maybe they can do it. But it's just, I feel like they have a good squad every year, but then they sell off some key players or something. Like, it just, it works out in some way that they just don't have the right people. But then, the other big result, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, Man U lost on Sunday 2-1 to Swansea.
They haven't lost all season.
Man U hasn't been playing well, obviously. They haven't scored shit in any of the games. So that's obviously a huge issue. Their defense has actually been pretty good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, if somebody asked me, I think it was actually Kelly, asked me whether it was, more of Man U's bad offense that lost that game, or was it, Swansea playing better? And Swansea's been playing pretty well. Swansea's a good team. Yeah. Gomis has been really good. IU's been a huge pickup. I think Swansea's a better team than most think. So it's a combination of the two. I think Swansea's playing well, and Man U can't score.
That's it. I mean, Man U has not scored, right? So this is the 10th game straight that Rooney has not found the back of the net, which is a huge, huge issue. Also, I just want to – the other interesting stat from this was Swansea's only the 7th team in BPL history to beat United 3 straight times.
Jeez. Well, one thing, though, we can't discount the second goal that Romero just – he should have saved that. Yeah. I mean, one thing I don't know much about – was it Gomis that scored the second goal? Well, but he looked really strong. Yes. And I don't know much about –
Gomis is having a fantastic start to his season.
Like, you know how some players still – I don't know. Defenders can defend against well. He was just – he pulled his weight and he was able to do it. But – Romero, I mean, this goes into the goalkeeping thing, which we'll talk about in the transfer situation, but Romero has done fairly well, but he shouldn't have let that goal in. And you feel like Mata scoring fairly early on, you're like, oh, this might be, maybe not, like, not, it's not going to be a rout, but you can hold this. And then they get one back, and then they get another one. It's like, you got to figure out what's going on. But you're right. I mean, offensively, there needs to be more.
I think a lot of it is just not clicking right away. I mean, they're going to score goals. Rooney, I mean, he's always in the top five in goals scored. He's getting chances.
How many
he's
did
just
score last
not
year?
Scoring. I mean, he's just shanked some shots.
He should have scored last week.
He's not shooting when he should. Yeah. I think it's going to take a few weeks for him to get into it again, but I think eventually he'll be fine.
He probably will.
He is aging, but he's still 29.
Rooney had 12 last year.
So that's not that many.
It's not bad.
How many assists did he have? He probably had a ton of assists. Plus, he was injured part of the year.
Yeah, I mean, anyway. Rooney's this weird player. He is arguably
he only
the
had
most.
Five assists, by the way.
Oh, wow. I think he was injured.
Excuses.
He was playing in the midfield.
He was playing in the midfield. That's true.
So to me, Rooney's the weirdest player because I would say right now he's arguably the most famous Premier League player. And I mean just generally in the way Beckham was. Like I know people who don't watch soccer at all who've heard the name Rooney.
Right.
Because he was a face for so long, like I said last week. And especially if Man U, the biggest club in the world pretty much. I don't feel like he's been dangerous. He hasn't felt like Rooney in a long time. I've never felt like, oh my God, Rooney's on the pitch. Like it was Van Persie, and then, I guess it was back to Rooney. But it hasn't felt like, the way Costa, people are afraid to play against him. Aguero consistently.
Yeah, I mean, Costa hasn't done anything either.
Well, this year he didn't start off well, but last year he was getting goal after
Costa
goal.
Last year was nasty.
I agree. This year, I mean, he only has
Aguero. Aguero has one goal.
He looked incredible though. Like that single goal. He's had shots on goal. He's looked really solid. So that's the thing. I'm just surprised Rooney. He hasn't felt like the top goal scorer in a while to me. So I hope he picks up.
Maybe signing will urge him to play better.
Yeah, we'll get into that when we go into the topic. But
Southampton won pretty easily. Norwich 3-0.
Nice
Southampton's
kick.
Very very good solid team. I think they'll be right on the cusp of Europa League. I think they're one of the top top
it's
six.
Good to see them win.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah.
They just got promoted.
Another
reason why promotion and relegation is important.
Oh, God.
Seeing teams.
Don't start.
I was saying positive
That's
things.
Pretty much it for scores. I mean, Everton and Tottenham drew. I didn't really get to see much of that game, but it was 0-0.
It wasn't that great a game, but
we got break coming up, so we won't be talking about the Premier League probably.
Yeah, a boring international break where we will probably see one or two injuries, and then all the coaches will get really mad because this is what happens in international break.
Yep.
But that's how it goes. So. Okay,
hold on. Can I just read the top four right now?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we need to go through the top four. I wonder who's number one.
Man City, 12 points. Crystal Palace, 9 points. Leicester City, 8 points. Swansea, 8 points.
Gosh, and then this has got to be the weirdest.
And then United, Arsenal, Liverpool.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't say every
Well, it's
year,
like Southampton.
So
Southampton
still
did the same thing.
By like, I would say.
Yes, I know.
You know, with
just
their four games in, I would say another four games. like eight games in, you'll see. I mean, Man U's fifth, Arsenal's sixth. They'll be in the top four, I think, one or two of them. Chelsea better not be in 13th after eight games. I think they'll start to creep their way out. All the top teams are going to creep up. It's just
My question to you guys. Okay, so those three teams: Swansea, Crystal Palace, and Leicester. Which of them do you think could be, you know, the Southampton where they're maybe like fifth, sixth, seventh? Do you think which team can do well? I don't think none of them are going to challenge for the title. But
I think, I mean, I'll go first because I've been talking a lot so far.
So I'll talk some more.
Swansea, Southampton, West Ham, and I think maybe Everton will still be in that like 6, 7, 8 range.
Yeah.
I can't see Crystal Palace staying up. I mean, they've been playing well, but just talent-wise, they don't have it.
They're just not there. Yeah, I'm surprised they're doing as well.
And same with Leicester. I don't think they have enough guys to, you know, consistently win or draw every week. I think they'll fall down.
I mean, all right, here, look at the top scorers right now, right? You have Mahrez from Leicester with 4, Gomes with 4 on Swansea, Callum Wilson, who's been on fire, with 4 for Bournemouth.
Jeez.
IU for Swansea with 3, Ward for Crystal Palace with 2.
Oh my gosh.
Ward's a defender too.
Tadic with 2 for Southampton. I mean, like,
anybody who tried to figure out fantasy at this point got it wrong. Yeah. All the best players are on the teams you didn't think.
Well,
about.
It's crazy. Like all of these teams that we mentioned that you would not expect up there are the ones scoring goals right now.
So the next question is, how many of these guys are going to be gone in winter? But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. And I mean, not to harp on this, but only because he was a big deal, Kane. He's still not doing anything. That's what Tottenham needs. Like, he was, and he, considering how well he did last year, and there was always that question, like, maybe he is the next, you know, best striker, but I don't know, dude. He's not doing anything. So
hasn't yet. It's been 4 games, so, you know.
Still early, but
we've got plenty of time.
But I think that'll do it for the first half. We'll catch you after the break.
Sweet. Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons & Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Okay, and welcome back to the second half. So we're going to dedicate this entire second half to the transfer market. So this was deadline day. So all the transfers have pretty much gone through at this point. And this podcast might go up a little bit later, but today is transfer day that we're talking.
I will say we're recording this with about an hour left. So if Pogba ends up going somewhere, we apologize. You won't know about it until next week.
Messi and Ronaldo both go to Swansea and they light up the Premier League.
That would be a good topic.
God, I would say the biggest deal of the day, or the deal that didn't get done, was De Gea. So the talk of pretty much the entire summer was De Gea going to Real Madrid. I mean, it was in a weird way, a return to Spain. When I say weird way, he used to play at Atletico Madrid. But, you know, having a Spanish number one always looks great. Madrid, I'm sure, would be positive on that. And Man U was, they really wanted him because he did so well last year, but it wasn't something like, it sounded like De Gea wanted to go back. And at the end of the day,
it's clear that he wanted to leave.
Yeah, no matter what.
For sure.
And he was sitting out the past couple days, past couple games. But at the end of the day, he didn't go because the paperwork didn't come in on time.
Which isn't the first time this happened. Yeah. Which is funny.
So the weird quirk we have to say first off is that the Spanish deadline is a day earlier than the English deadline. So technically, if Manu wanted to buy somebody, they could. But so originally,
somebody's
the deal
getting fired.
Was the original deal was supposed to be De Gea and I believe De Gea going to Real Madrid, and Real Madrid would pay, I believe, 30 million euros plus Jesus Navas, their current number one.
Keylor Navas.
Keylor. Did I say Jesus?
You did.
Keylor. Keylor Navas. So, but it didn't happen. So now Keylor is still at Madrid, and De Gea is still at Man U. So what do you think, Dave?
Rob, you can go first, because I got a lot to talk about.
How many goalkeepers do they have now?
they're actually starting a back line of just goalkeepers.
Okay, just name them for me, right?
So Victor Valdez is their last one. Yep. They have Anders Lindegaard.
He got sold today.
Oh, he did get sold? Yeah. To where?
West Brom.
Okay, so no longer him. Sergio Romero.
Yep.
And now they have David De Gea. And they're all
not that many if you think about
it. Well, it would have been four.
But
they're all, you know, Spanish speaking. So I don't know. Maybe they'll talk shit about
it's crazy because all these guys would start somewhere.
They would.
Except for Romero, who was their starting.
He was at Monaco, and he was doing.
He was at like Sampdoria, and he wasn't even starting for like. He is not a world class goalie.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. He's not. He's not Manu level. I mean, really, Valdez is, but he's never going to come back, and he's. I don't know where he's going to get sold. So really, it's back to De Gea. So the confusing thing is. I mean, De Gea wanted to go. He'll still play. They're going to put him in. They know how badly they need him. And he's a professional. He's not going to be like a douche and just not play. But what do you think?
So I'll go into my long spiel here.
Go ahead.
So first off, I want to know why Real Madrid wasn't in the running to buy him when Man U did, or why he decided not to go to Real Madrid when he was 19 versus come to Man U when he was 19.
Well, he's also coming from Atleti, though.
Well, yeah, he was coming from Atleti, and the thing is, they had Casillas. Casillas was the number one. He was not.
Still, I mean,
change.
This was only like 2-3 years ago. Casillas is.
But he wasn't going to start, though.
There are a couple of reasons. No, Casillas was still. And the thing is, Casillas has a legend status there. He's one of those unshakable guys. So why he was there
that long.
Why
wouldn't you sign
the other reason?
You know.
The other reason was De Gea was still, to a degree, an unfinished product. He was a ridiculous shot stopper, but he still made some basic mistakes. Ferguson also had a lot of power. He could get transfers done. He saw the talent in him, and they know they needed one because Van der Sar was getting old. But the thing is, I mean, you remember the first years De Gea was there. Everybody was kind of down on him. He made ridiculous saves, but they're like, you can't do anything with your feet.
Yeah. I mean, and he was also 20 years old. 19.
Exactly. But people were still questioning Ferguson, saying, you know. Yeah. But I honestly understand why Madrid wasn't like. I mean, I remember talking up De Gea, and nobody really knew who he was. Right. He was ridiculous. But that's why they didn't buy him.
Anyway, I still think they should have looked into him as a teenager. He was still clearly Spain's hottest young goalkeeper, and Madrid or Barcelona usually you would think would buy Spanish top youngsters.
They would, I don't think he was as highly rated.
So it didn't happen. So he wants to go back to Spain, which I don't blame him. He's Spanish. You know, Real Madrid's clearly needs a goalie now, and one of the top.
Real Madrid's pretty big. I don't know. I've heard of him a couple times.
So first off, I have a few things to talk about. Contract length. So clearly, when Manu signed him, he was probably on what, like a 4-year deal or something?
Probably, yeah.
But it top, not just goalies, top players, you should not, I feel you shouldn't let them run down to their last year of their contract.
No.
Especially when you're throwing in different coaches and throwing in a whole new system and, you know, Sir Alex is gone. Because then you're in this situation here where clearly he wants to go to Madrid. So United has to sell him. I mean, he's not going to sign a new contract. United had to sell him. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise they're just going to let this top goalie in the world go for nothing, which is ridiculous. And now it's going to happen. So not only that, they waited until the last day. They've been talking about this all summer.
It's insane.
Why couldn't they just come up with something? I mean, Man U, you're not going to keep him. They decided not to play him to start the season. So Man U looks like the biggest asses like ever.
I would say though, honestly though, both, because the thing is, it was always a question of money. Both teams, Man U has tons of money. Real Madrid has tons of money. Neither of them really, they need to make the deal. Madrid really genuinely needs De Gea, but they don't need to, you know, shortchange Man United. Right, but at the same time, United doesn't need the extra money.
Yeah, but I mean, De Gea is one of the top goalies in the world. Why can't Barcelona pay, what is it? What were they asking? 30, 40?
Yeah, they wouldn't pay even 50 million, which De Gea is worth 50 million. I mean, I know there's a whole conversation we had before about whether or not keepers.
Not only that,
what did they agree on before the paperwork went?
I believe it was 30 plus Navas, which Navas is a decent pickup. So. Okay.
Which would have been awesome, considering, I mean, again, it's not the money, but you're getting something for somebody versus nothing. So now the whole thing is, all right, so they have De Gea for essentially one season.
He could go in winter.
But here's the thing.
I don't think he will.
They just mentioned this. If he plays Champs League, he can't go in the winter.
Well, he can. He just can't play.
He just can't play.
Why would they
sign
him in the winter if
he
can't play in the Champs League?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, they could do what we do.
Is United going to play him, though?
That's the thing. I mean, I think they will.
they are. They can't.
They've already conceded to not selling him.
Yeah,
so,
but you're playing somebody you know does not want to be there.
That's
not
honestly
the
what
club.
I thought why they didn't start him. I didn't think it was just because, oh, we're going to wait until the transfer window is done and then we'll play him. I thought they just weren't playing him because he didn't want to be there, which is
why would you
basically
play a player like that?
Way I see it, two things. I mean, okay, I don't know Davide personally, but I feel like in this situation, he's professional enough that he'll step up. Because you also have to think about, yeah, they're big on him now, but there's a whole year. And teams look at players very differently over here. Even though how big of a deal he is, it's surprising. Who knows? Maybe there's some other keeper that ends up being some star, and then he's the hot new property, and they go for him. I don't think that'll happen, but that could happen. The other thing is, De Gea, like, you need him. You can't not start him. And
well,
I don't think we do,
because we have no goalie but Romero.
Yeah, yeah. And you can't not start him. And De Gea, I just don't see him being that kind of guy. Like, why wouldn't you?
Okay.
If you're De Gea, not only forget the money, you want to play.
Yeah, but if you're De Gea, okay, you want to go to Madrid, you're Spanish, you want to go home, you want to go play for the top club.
But he can't change
it. But listen, it was going to happen, and then, man, you fucked it up.
Yeah.
Excuse my language here for all you kids. Man, you messed it up for you to go back to where you want to play. So why would you be like, oh, these idiots, freaking,
he
you
did,
know, they screwed up my chance to play Madrid in Champs League this season. Now I got to wait a whole year.
I don't know.
Play with
I
these guys who can't even score goals.
Unless
Swansea 2-1, they need me.
No, but they can.
Who cares?
They can just not play him in Champs League if they intend to sell him in the winter.
So I think what they should do now is
play him in the league.
No, I think what they should do now. Well, yeah. So if they can play him in the league, just not in Champs League, and they have to sell him in the winter.
But hold on. Here's the other part.
You do
of
have
equation.
Valdez still, right?
What?
Valdez is there.
He's
right?
It is.
He's not
done.
Playing. Valdez
he's not.
Done.
Van Hal has turned. He's no. There's no. It is literally impossible for him to play.
Stupid.
So the other part of the equation is Navas. You have Navas, who is a solid goalkeeper. He was already told, essentially, you're being sold. And the only reason why I didn't go through is because of technicality. Yeah, so there's no confidence in him. Now, he still has a point to prove, and you're playing for Real Madrid. He's not De Gea.
Right.
So, I mean, he's still going to play. But, man, that's got to shake your confidence
completely. Apparently, part of the whole mix-up was Navas accepting to go to Madrid, to Man U as well. I was reading some articles. I mean, who knows what's true, but Navas didn't want to go to Man U, and they had to convince him finally. I don't know how they convinced him, but why would you want to leave Madrid to go to Man U just to be included in a deal for somebody else who's taking your spot?
Exactly.
So I think he's like, why? I don't want to go to Man U just to have, you know, it's just you can get De Gea. Why would I want to?
And the problem is,
so
when you're,
I think that was part of the, could have been part of the holdup. And then Man U just waiting till last minute when they could have just, you know, 20 million, who cares?
Well, when
use that 20 million, buy Cillessen, buy freaking, you know, Oblak.
Why
I'm sure they could get
Lloris,
one of those two guys.
Look how bad Tottenham
is. Lloris, I could have swore there was articles of him saying, if De Gea left,
he wanted
I will
to move
go.
To the next level.
Man,
he wanted to
looks
to
like
the
biggest
thing is, and I feel bad because Navas, like, he was a first team player. I forgot where he came from, but he was in La Liga. He was playing first team football, and now he gets signed out to Madrid, being kind of told you're backup for Casillas. But you kind of know Casillas is on his way out. You want to fight for your place. You got your dream star. I mean, this is, honestly, I don't want to, not to bring us up, but it's the same thing Ter Stegen and Bravo. Like, Ter Stegen was bought on thinking he's going to be the number one, and now there's this confusing thing. And it's, these guys are players who can play. Like, these are not chumps.
The other thing, too, is Navas is the starting goalie right now, right?
Yes.
And he's been playing really well.
He's played well.
So
he hasn't
if
had
you're
that much
already
to do,
a
but.
Starting goalie for Madrid, and they want to replace you,
because
you got to look at it both ways. A, why would you play for a team that's looking to replace you? B, why would you want to leave when you're already playing first team football for the top club
and they have
nobody else?
Why,
so there's a bunch of
why do you want to play if you're why do you want to play if you're you already know you want to be sold? That I think affects your confidence, but you're for Madrid. You don't give up that chance.
So why would
you take
you
that
leave?
Chance? But the thing is, you want to leave because you know you're second place. You know when De Gea comes in, you're not there.
Right,
I'm 100% surprised Diego Lopez played as long as he did. I thought Casillas was always going to have that spot, but he didn't. And the thing is, Navas knows the moment De Gea steps on there, unless De Gea totally messes up, which is not going to happen. And the thing is, the reason why Madrid wanted De Gea is, it's not that Navas can't play. It's those times when you're playing Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Chelsea, when you need those ridiculous saves that that he can pull out.
And
that's
against Barcelona, I think De Gea would be a far better upgrade than Barcelona's goalie.
I am so happy that He is not there.
What are they flip-flopping between?
I don't want De Gea to be there.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
You guys are flip-flopping between Ter Stegen and what's his name?
Bravo.
You guys
Bravo's done really well.
But
either one,
I don't think that, I think De Gea is way better than both of those guys.
Yeah, he is. He is better than both of them, I would say. But honestly, Bravo's done really well. But
so,
well, okay, that's done. I mean, or it's not done. We'll see what happens. I kind of think they're going to wait a full year, and Man U's not going to get money, and it's going to be terrible. But
so, yeah, if that's the case, might as well just freaking play him.
I think De Gea is going to play.
At this point, who cares?
Is gonna play and no
Man U already screwed everything up, so...
I mean, technically, you know, they have... Or is it already closed? But anyway, let's get off of that.
United did make a big signing today.
They did.
Yeah, so Anthony Martial was signed from Monaco, 19-year-old teenager. Talented player for sure. I actually knew about him, I want to say, a couple years ago, when he was like 17.
He was bought for cheap.
In FIFA. I think I found out in FIFA, actually. He was ranked pretty high for such a young for such a young player.
That's what you should do for a job. You work for FIFA.
Dude, honestly, God, FIFA, because I'm obsessed with finding all young players in FIFA and just like transferring all my old players for young players. And I honestly think that's probably where I find out about a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
He's obviously young, so he's got a lot to learn, but talented striker. I think he can play in the wings as well. And Man U, I mean, he's not going to unseat Rooney as a striker. So I think he'll sub in.
But he's young.
You know, a little
he's
bit.
Building for
exactly.
The future.
So he's going to learn. I think he'll definitely be a big help in the next year or so.
So it's interesting because United has a trend of paying a lot of money for teenagers, right? So I was looking, I found this article today that showed I'll go through the top five most expensive teenagers, right? So Anderson, Porto to United for £25 million. Saviola, River Plate to Barca for £29 million. Rooney, Everton to United for £30 million. Shaw, Southampton to United for £31 million. And now Marshall, Monaco United to £36 million.
So out of those, it's funny because Rooney was definitely a good buy. Shaw, we have yet to see.
Damn. How much was Rooney?
Rooney was $30 million.
Yeah, pounds. I forgot pounds. How big of a signing he was
huge,
from Everton.
Yeah.
But he definitely worked out. Anderson, not as much.
Yeah,
so we got to see how Marshall. But that's what youth is. You're always taking a risk.
And money's obviously going up. I mean,
right. Well, that and, you know, you have to outbid everyone else now for the next big talent, right? And it's always about one-upping, and it's about exclusivity.
Yeah.
So,
but it's so many, though. Like, now we lost Mastur, so it's like.
He's loaned.
But I'm pretty sure there's an option to buy, though. He's not going to come back.
But so we have Man U. So that was basically their transfer.
Yeah. I mean, they still didn't get a defender, which I think is stupid. I mean, they haven't allowed a goal, but I think it's more of just, I don't think it's a, you know, their defense is that great that they're just, I just think it's more of other teams being rusty. I think they need to sign another center back and, you know, another forward. They got one, which I think is fine. But yeah, Man U is pretty much done. Not happy.
Then Chelsea seems like a complete panic buy. They bought, how old is he? I mean, I don't even know who he is.
The Senegal guy?
Yeah.
So, dude, he's like 27. He's not even like a youngster. I could have swore I looked at him. His name is, none of us are going to be able to pronounce his name.
But, you know, one thing that Mourinho is very good at is picking up players and turning them into good players. And honestly, lately, he's been doing almost none of that. I don't know who this guy is. Who knows? Maybe he's the next big thing, but it definitely.
Right. But there's a good chance Mourinho's out after this year.
Yeah. But either way, even the remnants of the teams he builds usually end up being solid. Like, a lot of them are at, like, they have internal strife, but the players are still good. The people he picks up, well, not always, but a lot of times. The thing is, it's a complete panic buy. I don't think Arsenal picked up anybody. I don't think there were any other really major moves. Everton got a couple.
I mean, there were
good
some
pickups.
Yeah, there were some, like,
Lennon.
Lennon, your boy.
And, oh, actually, going back to Man U, Chicharito is going to Leverkusen.
Yeah, so Man U, that I do think they did a good job. Chicharito is going to Leverkusen.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Johnny Evans
sides.
Was gone a few weeks ago. I mean, they got rid of Lindegaard, who wasn't going to do anything. You know, they're getting rid of some of the guys that clearly aren't going to play. Even Yanezai. I mean, Yanezai is not going to play for them right now.
Yeah.
So instead of him getting angry, which I'm sure he already is because he's not playing, you might as well loan him and get him some experience, and hopefully he comes back and plays.
Dude, I'm excited about the German league. Like, there are some really good players.
In the Wolfsburg, Wolfsburg sold De Bruyne, obviously.
Yeah,
right?
So that's probably the biggest one other than De Gea. So, he finally got sold. City sealed the deal. We all knew it was kind of happening, but that's a really solid pickup for them. It's hilarious. If he does well, I mean, Chelsea's just going to look so stupid. But, you know, that's, I mean, City already looks unstoppable. It's going to be insane. They have all the best strikers. Sterling, De Bruyne, Aguero. Like, this is bony. I mean, it's insane. So they're just getting better.
But it's also preventing everybody else from getting players, too.
Yeah.
I mean, now that's kind of it, right? You just snatch up everybody before anybody else can get them.
I mean, that's part of the strategy. This is exactly what we do, us versus Madrid. Half the time we buy people just so the other team doesn't buy them. City had some. I think that's probably their biggest move. I mean, two forwards. I mean, they really were looking at getting
West
that offensive
Ham
power.
Actually looking at it now. West Ham got Song back finally. Yeah.
Just
got
Song
what,
is
why, good. Yeah. What is he?
So basically, Song didn't play well for us, and he's just not going to get into that lineup. Too. And so, but the thing is, West Ham won't buy him. So we loaned him out last year, and we're loaning him out again this year. It's really weird, and I almost feel bad for him because he's a good player, and he doesn't have a home, and he's clearly not welcome at Barcelona. Yeah. So it's weird.
Yeah. So they got Song, which is good. West Ham got Moses on loan from Chelsea. Yep. They got Jelovic from Hull. So they got a few different guys.
Dyer went to Leicester.
Yeah, Nathan Dyer. Quick dude.
So who do you think at the end of the day, who had the best transfer window?
Obviously, I have this thing up here.
Top two have to be the Manchester clubs. It's got to be.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Man City obviously
City,
is the best.
City made the bigger buys.
Yeah, the stars.
City definitely made the best.
But United had the wider range. I mean, granted, they need a bigger overhaul, admittedly, but they had the wider range. Like, you have Darmian on the right. You have Depay, bring some creativity.
You know, everyone's knocking the amount of money they spent on this dude, but, I mean, who cares about the money they have it? You know, they need to spend it if they're going to get somebody, so...
Do you wish so? The rumor also was that they were offered $50 million for Royce, but then Dortmund said no, $60 million. Yeah. Did you want Royce? I mean,
Royce
is really good. Yeah, he's really good.
I would have taken him. Again if it's not. I mean, you know, we say it's not about the money, but for them, it kind of is. I mean, just the fact that these teams are like asking for a little bit more, it pisses them off.
Exactly.
And then, like, so it kind of is.
But that's the weird thing. Man U is not like they've always had money, but they've got good deals. It's really weird now. Everybody realizes, oh, they have the money, so we're going to force everything. Like $60 million, that's just shy of Bale. I mean, Royce is, though, he's just really solid.
So maybe they decided they only wanted to spend a certain amount more, and, you know, instead of, you know, the De Gea thing falling through, they're like, you know what, we'll just get this guy for this amount. But
yeah, I'd agree. I think City probably had
City definitely had the best. You know, Southampton got that guy from Celtic, or Celtic, however you want
Celtic.
To pronounce it.
Come Celtic. Come on, man.
Celtic woman.
No.
They got Virgil van Dijk, whatever you want to pronounce it. I like him a lot. He's a left or right back, I believe.
Play on either side.
Southampton always has those, like, sneaky buys, too.
But then they just turn into a feeder. If they're good enough, they just leave. So,
he's relatively young. I think he's in his low 20s.
I think, Chelsea just didn't look that good. Arsenal.
I mean, some other, you know, Rob's best bud over here, Bonera, finally decided to get
God.
Up.
Thank God. Where did
he
go?
Decided Milan wasn't good enough for him, so he decided to leave. He went to, God, I just saw it. Jesus.
He went to Villarreal.
He went to a Spanish team, yeah.
Yep. Really?
Yeah, he went to Villarreal. So
really?
I'm surprised.
They're better.
They're in fourth, yeah.
Yeah. He decided to leave Milan.
Are they in Champions League?
Yes, they are.
Are they?
Really?
They should be.
Maybe Europa.
No, I'm pretty sure they're in chance.
I'm just happy we kept De Jong. That was
well,
the big
Bilbao.
Barcelona, Madrid, Atleti.
Bilbao.
Seville.
I think it's Bilbao.
Is it Bilbao?
I could have sworn I just saw them in a group.
Okay, well.
Maybe not. They're probably in Europa.
You might be right.
They're in every group.
Who do you think, kind of to wrap this up, so who do you think, out of the big teams, not everybody, just out of the big teams, who do you think had the worst transfer? And you know what the funny thing is? We have the transfer ban, and we clearly did not have the worst transfer.
Yeah.
We actually had a decent one. Arda Turan is a really good player. Vidal might fill in for Dani Alves.
Are you saying out of our three clubs or out of the
big clubs? No, out of the bigger clubs.
Does,
like,
Milan count as a big club?
Milans? Yeah.
Honestly, we didn't have a good one because we've made a ton of signings. Milan did. And, you know, clearly our two signings scored this week, so that was a good sign. But and we got Balotelli.
Porto's.
Can I just say real quick? I know you guys don't like me talking about Balotelli, so we got him back on loan, right? And so supposedly he's like got this new mentality. That's what they say every time he goes to a new club, right? He probably shows up early for like 2 days, so the reporters will report on that, and then he just whatever. He has rules now that he has to follow at the club. or else they can, like, I don't know, dock his pay.
It's part of his contract.
Like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But no, but they're like, you know, you have to cut your hair. Like, you can't have crazy hairstyles. Yeah. You know, you're off the field antics.
Part of it's
have
just
to go
discipline
crazy
stuff.
It's like strict though.
It's
like,
he's probably on only lockdown. Him too.
Oh yeah, no! It definitely is only him. Like, his social media is monitored by the club and stuff.
I mean, it's just try to get him the, you know,
good luck to Inter Milan.
Like, it's clearly his last chance. Like, if he can't do anything on this loan, he's done. But anyway, you know, we missed out on all the big names we should have gotten. Ibra probably could have come back if we had Champs League. You know, we missed out on Jackson Martinez and a couple other signings early on. So, you know, we didn't do great. I'll put it that way.
I want to say Porto actually made a couple loan moves today. Porto being, you know, FC Porto, Portuguese power. They got Casillas.
Yeah, Casillas, he's still decent.
But I mean, today they got Miguel Layun, Mexican national,
nice,
who's good from Watford. They got him on a loan, and they got this guy Jesus Corona, who's also a Mexican national. He's nasty in the some of the international games are doing very well. But I mean, their roster is pretty good, man. I mean, they got Layun, they got Casillas back there, Bruno Martins Indy from Netherlands. Brahimi is good. I think he's from like Algeria or something. Hector Herrera, another Mexican player, is nasty. Yep.
It'll be great to see how many players do well and get sold next year.
Barcelona, Tello.
Yeah, Teo.
Whatever. You know.
So there's a reason why I asked who you think had the worst. Because, I mean, it's hard to decide who had the worst. Madrid, I would actually say. So the reason why they're not that bad is because they always had a good team. They had two really minor young pickups. Maybe they can do well in the future. Who knows? They didn't get De Gea, which was their big thing of the summer. And they didn't really strengthen. Like, they didn't get any. I mean, they still have a solid squad. They kept Benzema. They kept Bale. So that's a positive.
Yeah,
but
I think
they didn't get
more
anybody. I mean, they lost Casillas, which, right, Casillas wasn't, he wasn't that good anymore. But Madrid, honestly, for being them, I mean, on one thing, it's good for them because they have high turnover. They sell all their best players. But on the other hand, they didn't really pick up anything. So yeah. I guess it's good for stability. The only thing they picked up was Benitez. So we'll see how that works. But that's what I want to say.
I think we had a better transfer ban.
Basically, we had a better transfer window than they did, and we had a transfer ban, which, honestly,
it's
like, I'm happy, but it's clearly a joke. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, we should not have we had an okay transfer window, which is ridiculous. But anyway, I think that'll wrap it up. That was a fun transfer deadline day.
Yes.
This weekend, is like we said, is going to be all the international break, so there won't be as many huge matchups, but we'll see how those goes. So if you can, just rate and subscribe us on iTunes. We're Kiss the Crest. You can go to thecommentist.com, check out some of our other podcasts. We have tech, we have veganism, we got pretty much everything. So
pretty much everything.
Yeah.
No boots though.
If you like high quality podcasts, you know where to go. So that'll do it for this week. Hope to see you next week.
See ya.